I'm going to read a sutta from the Anguttara Nikaya, Sevens. This is Sutta 36. This is called A Friend, Part 1. Bhikkhus, one should associate with a friend who possesses seven factors. What seven? He gives what is hard to give. That's number one. Number two, he does what is hard to do. Number three, he patiently endures what is hard to endure. Number four, he reveals his secrets to you. Number five, he preserves your secrets. Number six, he does not forsake you when you are in trouble. Number seven, he does not roughly despise you. One should associate a friend who possesses these seven factors. A friend gives what is hard to give, and he does what is hard to do. He forgives you your harsh words and endures what is hard to endure. He tells you his secrets, yet he preserves your secrets. He does not forsake you in difficulties, nor does he roughly despise you. The person here in whom these qualities are found is a friend. One desiring a friend should resort to such a person. I thought this would be a nice one to read because, as many of you know, Sister Wee's funeral memorial was yesterday. I'm sure many of you were there. And she was a good friend to many of us. And I felt that it's good to dwell on appreciating the friends we have because they might not always be with us. You know, just 2 days before Sister Wee passed away, I had a very brief conversation with her here. We only talked for like 1 minute, and it was right before the alms round, and I had no idea that was going to be the last conversation I'd ever have with her. So that was quite a shock. I learned from Brother Chua just 2 days later, oh, Sister Wee passed away, and I couldn't believe it. So, I feel it's worth going over these reasons to appreciate our friends and even pick our friends when we can. I want to dwell on this number two in the list. He does what is hard to do. And I would say that part of this doing what is hard to do is some friends are just very reliable. They're very reliable. You can always trust they'll be there for you. You can always trust when they give their word, they will deliver on that word. And I say that is something hard to do that deserves mentioning. Most of the time, it's pretty easy to keep our word. Most of the time, it's easy to be reliable. But when the troubles arise, that's the big test of our character. Can we continue being reliable, or can we continue keeping our word when we give it? There's always those tests that come. Can we still do, you know, that's when the hard things come, when those tests come. So anybody in your life, you know, think that over. Who is it in your life that is reliable for you? That person probably deserves being thanked sometime, you know, even if just for being reliable. People who keep their word, people who you deeply trust, that's worth a lot. He reveals his secrets to you. Number four, I think that one's worth dwelling on as well. One of the big differences that I had to learn to adjust to becoming a Buddhist monk, like I came from Canada, and Canada is known for having a very, let's just say, loose culture, more informal. And part of that culture is people are more open with each other, once they're friends anyway. They will admit their own faults to the other person and kind of like show what their vulnerabilities are a little bit. And this is a way of actually making friends, like you're sort of opening up who you really are. Maybe you have a more confident exterior by default to everyone, But the people you get closer to, you sort of reveal what are you a little more weak at. You kind of reveal those weaknesses. And that's a way of developing a closer relationship. If people are never, ever willing to reveal their weaknesses, at least in a looser culture like that, it begs the question, why? What are they hiding? Now, once I ordained, and I met a lot of Buddhists who came from much more, you might say, conservative, tighter cultures, they would not really reveal this kind of stuff. And that's part of the culture. A lot of the monks I met are very tough guy kind of monk. If something was to hurt them, they didn't want to say, ouch, let alone scream or cry or anything like this. That's just completely out of the question. In Canada, if somebody gets hurt, they say, ouch, even if they're a man. They'll scream, they'll jump. This does not ruin their reputation. This is thought to be like authentic behavior. They're being genuine. You actually earn respect by being more genuine. But in the more conservative cultures, no, be a tough guy. Be manly. Don't show your vulnerabilities ever. So that was kind of a difference I had to adjust to. Anyway, but here's the Buddha saying he reveals his secrets to you. I think secret would include these sorts of vulnerabilities, at least in a more Western or context. It is something you don't show people normally. And then number 5, I feel, is worth a little mention here too. He preserves your secrets. Preserves your secrets. So, you know, if somebody learns something about you, maybe one of these weaknesses or vulnerabilities, do they go telling other people about it? Do they go kind of behind your back and gossip about you? So this is a very good, I say, way to know if somebody's really your friend or not. What do they say about you behind your back? What do they reveal about you that you would prefer they did not reveal? Do they have, we have this word confidentiality. It's kind of a fancy word, meaning some things should be kept private. And if someone keeps those private things, then you have confidentiality. It's a form of respect, really. I feel social media deserves a special mention here, because it's terrible at confidentiality. It loves to gather up anything about you, you know, and then turn behind your back and try to sell that for money. And that, you can't call them a friend if they're doing that. Like, I suppose they need to make money. That's fine. I would far prefer they just charged a small fee to use the service and then they don't collect that information. Just charge what it's worth. Don't have to be dishonest and secretive about what's happening. It all comes out eventually anyway. People figure out what's happening. He preserves your secrets. So even though social media was never invented at the time of the Buddha, there is something here we can find in the suttas which we can sort of apply. You know what I mean? Like, we can use this. Oh, look, the Buddha said it's a good thing to not gossip about people. Keep the confidentiality when it's a good thing. What especially prompted me to pick this sutta is I had a conversation with my mother yesterday, and a close friend of hers just passed away. And just like my little example with Sister Wee, when I didn't know, I'd never talked to her again, this happened to her too, just recently, where she saw this friend. She'd known this friend for a long time. She saw this friend in public, but visiting with some other friend, and figured, okay, well, I would say hi, but maybe I won't intrude right now. But then just a short time later, then that friend passed away in their sleep. So then my mom thought back, uh-oh, that was the last time. That was the last chance I had when she saw that friend, and decided not to say anything. I guess I'm just suggesting that mentioning things you would like to say to somebody while you can is a good thing. I know in Buddhism, especially monasticism, it's got a strong culture of like, always be silent by default. Don't chit-chat frivolously. If you can avoid saying something, don't say it. It is very pro-drop, as they say, pro-drop, meaning favoring silence. It is for dropping any words if you can. It is pro-drop. Control means like approves of. Drop means just drop saying it. Don't say it if you don't have to. My guess, this is my own personal opinion here, is at the time of the Buddha in India, and Indian culture is the context. I don't know about you, but do you have any Indian friends? The Indian friends I've made, they're very talkative. Very talkative. I was just talking to an Indian monk I know about a week or two ago, and you know, I was willing to have an hour-long conversation. I hadn't talked to him in years. But no, that conversation, I could not stop it any earlier than like an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes. I'm like, okay, well, maybe this is a good time to kind of wrap it up. And no, he wanted to keep talking. It was a good conversation. He's funny. He's insightful. He's a great guy. But Indian culture, like they love to talk. They love to talk. They will just talk your ear right off pretty much. I met three or four Indian monks when I was in Sri Lanka. And yeah, all of them were this way. All of them. And I like them too. So I think that when the Buddha, this is my own, like I say, opinion here, but I think the Buddha, when he was saying things to the monks like, either speak on the Dhamma or remain silent, that's quite a strong language to get them to really, really minimize their talking. And maybe you have to say that to Indians, okay? Maybe that was, that's my opinion, is like he probably had to say that to them or they would have just talked like crazy. That's their culture. Anyway, so what I'm suggesting here today is in the way of appreciating other people for what their good values are, please don't cut that out of your speech. Don't consider that frivolous talk. Please consider that to be a form of Dhamma, okay? It's appreciation. It's gratitude. The Pali word is katanyuta. So if you're showing appreciation to somebody, maybe just they're a reliable person in your life, just any appreciation. So if anybody comes to you and they're like, shh, no chatting, no talking, you can be like, I was practicing katanyuta. Okay, so that's the magic word you can use. If you use a Pali word, oh, that must be some Dhamma. Okay, katanyuta. Okay, gratitude.